Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Here are the numbers. If you think these wrong way crashes are happening at an alarming rate or that there are more of them, according to the Illinois Department of Transportation, wrong way crashes jumped from 991 statewide in 2020 to 1,140 in 21. And in Chicago, IDOT received reports for 305 wrong way crashes in 2020, 376 in 2021. Joe Schwarterman is a DePaul University transportation professor. In your experience or your research, are most of these related to alcohol use or DUIs?
Unfortunately not. I mean, there are, of course, a disturbing share of them are, but we're just seeing these misjudgments by drivers grow, and it's got so many different problems. We know one of them is just heavier traffic. People get oriented, disoriented quicker. They may panic and turn in the wrong lane if they think they're need to avoid an oncoming car on a turn. And boy, we just had that terrible accident yesterday that killed two.
And that was the one on DuSable Lakeshore Drive?
Yeah, that's right. Unfortunately, the data's come out about how these crashes are growing. And I think our grid system in Chicago is a play here, too. These big, wide streets. And when you have a lot of moving traffic, people come to an intersection, they cross a couple lanes, and they turn. And they're still in, of course, the opposing traffic going the wrong way. You know, if you have fog or heavy traffic or you're, God forbid, texting while you're doing it. And so we have a lot of them just on the street grid here. And that's a pretty big mental error for a driver.
And when it's on an interstate like 90, like the entire family who perished, that crash last month was absolutely horrific. And I know on some of these, like if you were leaving Belvedere and you were going to head 90 west, sometimes, not particularly that one, but sometimes you turn left to go west or east, and then the cloverleaf takes you in opposite directions. But I can see where it could be easier to get on some of the interstate ramps and head the wrong way without there being something that is glaringly obvious that you need to stop.
Right, and it's like that on 294 too as well, where they've re-engineered some intersections where sometimes, you know, you turn right to get on a lane going to the right. Other times you do a cloverleaf type arrangement. And I think that's where a lot of these accidents occur on the interstate, is you have two big signs saying wrong way. But, you know, at nighttime, there's not blinking lights, there's not any kind of engineering to tell you you're going the wrong way. And so you couple that with the fact that the new data shows that people are driving faster. I mean, they're tailgating 80 miles per hour is now the norm. Somebody going the wrong way or even approaching getting on the wrong way will cause oncoming drivers, in a sense, to swerve. And you have these multi-car pileups. And that terrible accident you mentioned, I think some Indiana couple, was a case in point of that it was just a driver that got disoriented.
And so is this, exclusive to Illinois, or are we seeing this across the nation?
Well, recall the data came out a few months ago that both pedestrian accidents and fatalities had gone up. And oftentimes there are people crossing at intersections and so forth. And it shifted here in town, that we had a terrible problem downtown. We still do, but pre-pandemic, the number of deaths downtown, big city push to lessen that. And those have gone down, partly because there are fewer people here, but they shifted to the neighborhoods and gotten a lot worse there. And like I say, the grid, I think the traffic is moving a little slower on the grid now that we have, love them or hate them, the speed cameras and heavier traffic. But we're finding the grid creates a lot of situations where people traffic can move much faster than it would, say, in Boston, where the streets are a little narrower.
I read that the greatest number of wrong-way crashes since 2019 has not been on a highway or expressway, but on Cicero Avenue, and they've had 19 wrong-way crashes.
Wow, yeah, that's south end of Cicero, and I'm on that like on the midway. And the intersection between Cicero and 294 is like this complicated, six-way intersection of 127th Street coming on. They have signs everywhere, and it's so easy to get disoriented there. And we had actually had the highest number of collisions as well. So I think people get to these intersections that their mind's going a mile a minute. Where do I turn? Who's, can I get in that turning lane fast enough? And you block out some common sense, thinking like, gee, before I do that, I better make sure I'm going the right way. And late at night, unfortunately, is when a lot of these things happen.
Josh Weiderman is a DePaul University transportation professor. What's your take on the railway strike? It could happen at 12:01 a.m. on Friday morning. Metra is making adjustments. Amtrak has already canceled some of their runs. What do you think is going to happen?
Yeah, really, I'm not terribly optimistic, but I do think that railroad workers are really charged up now, and everything from work conditions and safety with all the hazardous materials they're carrying, as well as being docked for missing work, and it's really become quite emotional for railroad workers here. And with the long time since you have a railway strike, I mean, it's been many years. In the UK, we had a passenger train strike a while back, so I think there's something in the air about striking. But boy, the White House has put pressure on these railroads to, to try to make a deal.
Can the White House extend the cooling off period, or does that take Congress?
Yeah, there's been no real sense that that's going to happen. Congress can pass a bill, which would affect, prohibit a strike at the moment. They can't make that last forever because there's labor rights that have to be respected. And that something like that could happen here, or enough pressure on both the unions and the railroads that they try to give it another 30 days, because we're in this real tight supply chain. And unlike some past disruptions where railroads have meltdowns, our trucking network, has this big driver shortages, and we have about, dozens of boats stacked up at the ports trying to get unloaded. So you can see why the Biden administration is quite alarmed here.
Absolutely. Thank you for joining us. I have a feeling we'll be reaching out again.
Thank you.
Joe Sweiderman with DePaul. Coming up next, Steve has your newscast on 720 WGN, and then we'll check in with Courtney Collins. She's the VP for the American Foundation for Suicide Prevention. They've got a big walk coming up. We'll get you all the details.
Lisa Dent, WGN.